is Championship Wednesday. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5, the game. GM, I bet it must have just killed you when it was Championship Wednesday and you were getting ready for the AFC Championship game. The two times that you were there as general manager of the Titans, you must have said, is it Sunday yet? Is it? Or were you just so overloaded with things that had to get done before you got on the plane to Jacksonville or Oakland?
You know, it is, and again, I want to say, I'm not sure this is right. It seemed like we had to go a day or two early, and I haven't heard anybody at Titans say that. So I we'll ask John when John gets on. I'm curious, but it seemed like we had to go early, so we did have some adjustments, and maybe we just chose to go early. I don't know. But it seemed like some of the planning and putting all that together became an issue.
So John Robinson will join us at 4 o'clock. And in those games, the Titans were on the road. They're on the road. This one, the Titans Oilers franchise, this will be the fifth AFC championship game. And they have played all five on the road. It would be nice to have this game at Nissan Stadium, but it is what it is. So a lot of people, I think you and I can agree, did not watch the Titans during the regular season really all that often. Fair?
The
general public, you know, like, yeah, even the Chiefs probably. Players, the national media just didn't watch the Titans. And quite honestly, you don't have to watch the Titans the whole season to get a feel for what this team is now, but it's a completely different team, to Vrabel's credit, because when Vrabel took the job, he said that the best teams in his experiences in the NFL are the teams that get better throughout the course of the year. They don't just start good in September and say, well, we're good, so let's just be good. But they're the teams who constantly get better throughout the course of the year. And the Titans, I think, are clearly a team like that. But people talk about the Titans, and they're amazed at what they're seeing. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of amazed too. But they're just amazed, and they can't exactly describe it, and they can't, and it turns into just tough, gritty, etc. I start with Bill Cowher, who went on the Rich Eisen show, and Bill was asked what he thought of the Titans so far. This is what Bill Cowher said.
Well, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I've given the Titans even a chance in either one of these first two games. But, you know, the one thing that I keep watching them do is they're not giving up big plays. Ryan, they're not asking Ryan and Tannehill to do anything more than he's not comfortable with. They're running the ball enough to make the play action work, and Derrick Henry is running like a beast. I mean, I've never seen a man run this powerful this long, and, you know, through the course of a game, if this thing stays close, you just have to wonder, do they just wear on you?
And so a lot of people are kind of getting their first big taste of the Titans. And because we've talked about this all year, the AFC elite we felt all year was Kansas City, Baltimore, and New England in some order, right?
Probably, yeah.
And then we started to kind of drop Kansas City, but then they got hot at the end, so we brought them back. And then we started to drop New England a little bit. And whether or not New England was elite, you know, they went into week 16 with the opportunity to have a home field bye. So they had a good season. I contend, and I know I've caught a lot of flack for my 12-4 and all of that, the Titans, when you count the playoff games, are 9-3 with Ryan Tannehill as the starting quarterback. They're 9-2 in games that Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill have played in. You know, the games where that they've played together, they're 9-2. That is elite. And I wonder if the Titans were never considered to be in that mix with those four teams and with Houston, etc., because they were always 5-5 or 4-5 or something like that for most of the season. And so people just kind of brushed it off and just said, I mean, the Titans are nice, but they're 8-7. You know, what are they as a football team? And then when you look at it, since Tannehill took over, no disrespect to Mariota, they're not as good as everybody, but they are playing as good as everybody. And then when you factor it in, this is how I look at it. First round pick at quarterback, first round pick at left tackle, first round pick at right guard, first round pick at right tackle, I mean left guard, first round pick at right guard, second round pick at running back, first round pick at wide receiver, second round pick at wide receiver. I mean, you start to look at it and it's like, yeah, that's a lot of first and second round picks on both sides of the ball. Defensive line, first round pick, second round pick, and Jarrell Casey, who's probably a top 10 player in Titans history. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, we maybe didn't even give the Titans enough credit. You heard Cowher say, I didn't give the Titans a chance to win either game. Maybe we didn't give the Titans enough credit even going into the playoffs because of the 9-7 record. But now that you realize that they're 9-3 with Tannehill, maybe they are a really good team in the mix with all these AFC teams.
Yeah, I mean,
they still miss the pass rush, though. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, there's, if you're, in my opinion, this is just me, if you're elite in the league, you're elite for one reason, or two reasons, one of two reasons. You truly have a really good, solid team. You can run the ball effectively. You can throw the ball effectively. You can stop the run. You can stop the pass. You can play man for man. You can play zone. You can knock the quarterback down. You've got a kicker. You've got a punter. You've got a and maybe none of them are superstars, but they're all pretty darn good. Or your part of your team, whatever part it is so much better than everybody else's that they can overpower whoever they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just can't keep up with them, whatever that is. You know, whether it's blitzing and knocking you down and sacking your quarterback or, you know, whatever it is. And if you're one of those two, then you're okay. And I'm not sure that we fit into those one of those two categories in my mind, you know, because I think, just like you said, I look at this team and I can find at least I can find two holes. But
your two holes are the pass rush and the wide receivers.
Well, I maybe three holes, and I was going to the kicker.
Hey, I'm going to ask John Robinson when he comes on today, 45 yards, down by two, Greg Joseph comes out. How do you feel? You know, because I'll tell you this right now. You'll probably be sitting next to me in the press box in Kansas City. I may pee my pants. Like, be careful now. Like, because I may pee my pants.
Yes.
I'm legitimately, I'm dead serious. If Greg Joseph goes out there, and it's not that I don't have confidence in Greg Joseph. I've never seen the man kick a field goal before. So I'm not down on him. But if he goes out there to win the AFC championship, and we've never seen the man kick the ball outside of an extra point, and it's a 45-yarder and Arrowhead to go to the Super Bowl in 20-degree weather, I will pee my pants.
Have to be an NFL first.
Can you imagine that?
If that were to happen.
If he hits that, they will carry him off the field.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that'll be like the unbelievable. But I go back, though. I think you bring up a great point. The Titans are, other than running the football, the Titans are not elite in any category. But yet they can win any kind of game. Now, this week may be the week that tests it, because I'm not sure if they can win a firefight. Like, can they win a true shootout? I remember a divisional round game at Kansas City when they had Trent Green and Tony Gonzalez and Priest Holmes, and they played a game with Indianapolis where I don't think either team punted. Like, and it was just back and forth. Peyton and Indy and Kansas City at Arrowhead, and I think Indy ended up having the ball last, and Indy ended up winning the game. The Titans cannot get into a pure firefight with Kansas City, but they can win close games by throwing the ball. They can win by running the ball. They can win by turning you over. They can win ugly. They can win pretty. They can win every kind of game. And I wonder if that is another reason that makes them a successful kind of team.
Well, I think right now it's pretty obvious what we, you know, the thing you don't notice, the thing people don't talk about. For example, I mean, everybody's into Derrick Henry and loving on Derrick Henry. Has anybody noticed the offensive line?
Oh, I would.
Has anybody
Boston Radio was talking about them?
The offensive line? I mean, they've lined up against 8-man fronts more than any team in the NFL. What do? They just knock them on their butts. I mean, they are, what they're doing is off the charts. And if you look at our defensive line, of which, you know, you say, is there a Suggs on our defensive line? No. Is there a Clark on our defensive line? No.
Well, I mean, Landry's a good player.
Well, okay. If you're just going by numbers this year.
Well, I mean, Terrell Suggs is going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, and Harold Landry is not. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that right now Harold Landry is not as good as Terrell Suggs.
That's fine. And then you've got the guy that's going to, you know, that's been hurt, that's coming back in. What's his name again? Chris Jones. Who played as good as any DT in the league last year. So, you know, you look at that and you go, do we have a defensive line that can keep up with that? I don't know.
But do they have Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro at safety? And do they have Adoree Jackson and Logan Ryan at corner?
Their safeties I like.
Sorensen had a good game against the Texans, but he's a backup.
I would compare those guys to our safeties. I'm not sure about the corners.
Really?
If Adoree's playing, I mean, if Adoree's playing, I guess I feel pretty good about the corners, you know. But, I mean, they're going to give you three receivers, and they're going to, so, you know, Sims is going to be out there. Sims is going to have to be covering somebody.
Actually, Sims is not. Have you noticed that they Sims is, Brock plays over Sims.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name, Brock, plays over, but it's going to be like a third. My dad and I were talking about this during the game Saturday. We're like, have you seen LaShawn Sims on the football field outside of the punt team? And we were like, no. So Brock is obviously playing over him. And I think Ty Smith is now playing over Sims, which is not a good sign for LaShawn Sims.
No.
But that being said, LaShawn Sims better not be the difference between you winning or losing the AFC Championship. And if he is, I don't feel so good about you winning the AFC Championship. So again, I go back to my theory is I think the Titans are an elite AFC team. I think that they are up there with Baltimore, New England, Kansas City. If you want to throw Houston in there, sure, but we never really considered Houston to be a Super Bowl contender. In fact, we spent all year talking about this, right? Like, do you think Minnesota is a Super Bowl contender? No. Do you think Houston's a Super Bowl contender? No. Do you think the Titans are a Super Bowl contender? No. Well, you can't say that anymore because on Sunday, you're contending for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Which is crazy. I contend that with Ryan Tannehill, the Titans are an elite AFC team, that they would have been 11-5, 12-4, 13-3, somewhere along there had Tannehill been their starter the whole season, and no one's giving them credit for that because their record was 9-7. So the question for the callers, 615-737-1025, is are the Titans an elite AFC team with Tannehill, or are they just a hot AFC team with Tannehill? 615-737-1025 is the number we'll discuss. 615-737-1025, plus what Patrick Mahomes said he learned about his first matchup for the Titans. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, John Robinson at 4 o'clock. We're live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Last game you all lost was against the Titans. What have you seen on film that makes both teams better than the last time you all played?
Yeah, I think, with the Titans, I mean, the physicality, the determination that they play with, offensive, defense, and special teams, I mean, they're going to get after it every single play. They're going to fight for every single yard. Their defense is going to fly around to the ball. They'll chase down a runner if he breaks. They're not going to give up on anything. So I think the biggest thing is just trying to match that, trying to go out there and give everything you have in order to go out there and play a good football game and try to come out with the victory.
Patrick Mahomes, now he and Kansas City are elite. That is an elite football team. We're talking about the Titans. 9-3 since Ryan Tannehill took over as quarterback. You could argue 9-2 when Tannehill and Henry are together. And the question is, are the Titans an elite AFC team or are they hot at the right moment? And I think both are legitimate questions. A texter says in the text line, the Titans are a hot team now, but they are an elite team if Derrick Henry is healthy with Tannehill at quarterback. Tannehill is not the difference maker. Now, I have a hard time saying that Tannehill is not the difference maker when the difference between where you were at the beginning of the season and where you are now is the quarterback. I mean, he is the difference. That being said, he thinks they're a hot team now, but they're an elite team if Derrick Henry's healthy. Floyd, are we still concerned that Derrick Henry may not be 100% running the football?
Well, I don't think – now, this is just me. And the only reason I say it was last week he got caught from behind by not a speed merchant. Not slow.
Type of Peters?
Not – huh?
Peters?
Yeah, not a speed merchant. And that's the first time we've ever seen anybody do that. Nobody ever catches him from behind. And so in my mind, I'm saying, okay, he's not quite there. Now, he's good enough to do what he needs to do. And if he can run the way he did during that run, even when he got caught, we're okay. You know, that's not an issue. So I'm okay with it. But, I mean, I would guess if you were to ask him, he'd say, you know, 95, 98. I mean, he's close. He's really, really close. But I'm not sure he's completely there.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 plus your text. 615-737-1025. Kinston is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Kinston?
What's up, guys? Just to ask you a question. I don't think we're elite yet, but I think those adjectives get thrown around too much. It's almost like it's better to be lucky than good. I think we're hot, and that's what's most important, because you can name a lot of teams with quarterbacks that are elite, but, I mean, how many championships have they won? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is maybe considered elite with his team, but they got one Super Bowl in 10 years. But Eli Manning, for example, was probably never had the Giants considered as an elite team, but they got hot at the right times. They got two Super Bowls in 5 years, so... this is caught up in those adjectives. I think it's better to be playing your best football at the right time, and if you can be consistent throughout the years I don't want to say the Patriots because they're maybe like an anomaly, but something along that lines, or maybe consistent championship football, then maybe you can get into that. But I want to ask a question real quick to Mr. Reese. If you guys caught Nick Saban's interview this morning on the Morning Drive when he was talking about how passing teams over the course of the season, teams that score quick, maybe that can wear out a defense over the course of a season because their defense is always on the field. If that can play into the Titans' hands with Kansas City, since we know they can score quick and their defense has played a lot of snaps, if maybe this time of year, like he said, you know, in college it's okay because you have so many college players, but in NFL, you don't really have as many players that you could cycle through. If Mr. Reese, if you could talk about that, and maybe if that's something that Tennessee could take advantage of.
Thank you, Kenson.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we talked about with the time of possession. I mean, the other team has the clock so much that, you know, the defense is playing, you know, a ton. But I think the difference when you're playing when you're catching up, when you're behind and you're playing, you know, is a little bit tougher because it's, generally speaking, running. You know, they're running the ball, and they end up beating you up at a point in time. Whereas if you're ahead and you're on the field playing, now you're rushing the passer, and now it doesn't fall as much on one guy because – you know, you can rote a pass rusher can be an outside linebacker. A pass rusher can be a safety. And so you can rotate just a ton of guys through, which I think helps keep some of the D-line fresh.
Plus, let's be honest, the Kansas City Chiefs had a week off. You know, you didn't get the week off. Kansas City got the week off.
Right.
So that to me, I think, is null and void. Back to his point about the difference between elite teams and hot teams and so on and so forth. I would say this. I was just thinking about it when he talked about it. I don't think Green Bay is an elite team. I don't think the Packers are an elite team. I think San Francisco is. I think Kansas City is. Like, I don't think Seattle is an elite team. I didn't think Minnesota was an elite team.
See, I'm not sure. Would you call San Francisco elite?
I see, and I was just thinking that in my head as I was sitting there. Yeah. I mean, they won like every freaking game this year.
Yeah, they did. And their defense,
I would call the Ravens, and I know you just beat the Ravens, but I would call the Ravens an elite team.
The defensive front for them is elite. I don't think there's any doubt. But I'm not sure the rest of that defense is elite. And even though they're running the ball really, really effectively, I mean, when you think about their passing game, they're like this team. They got a tight end, and that tight end is killing people. You know, I mean, he's playing great. But other than that, you know, you got guys that are just kind of guys. You know, not special, not scary.
So we should do a whole segment on this, and maybe we will. Who would you rather play in the Super Bowl? Green Bay or San Francisco?
Green Bay.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd rather play San Francisco, only because San Francisco would have to travel from San Francisco to Miami, and Jimmy versus Aaron, I'd much rather have to play Jimmy. They both have good defenses. I'd much rather play Jimmy than play Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, but Aaron, I mean, if you're playing Green Bay, what do you got to do? You got to stop the running back. Generally speaking, from receiving is where he's really, really scary.
And stop Devontae Adams.
And stop one receiver. And what are they going to do, you know? And I don't think their defense is as dominant as some of these others. The defense is playing much better, don't get me wrong. I think they're playing better than they thought they would be playing, but I'm not sure they're dominant.
Well, we'll think more about this and probably have a bigger topic on it at some point, as much as I know you'll hate doing that. Talk about who would you rather play, San Francisco or Green Bay. But let's go to T, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, T?
Hey, how's it doing, guys?
Good.
Thank you for having me. Look, I just want to say that my last time calling in was last year, actually, or maybe it was the off season, and there was a question as to are the Titans good enough? And I called in and said that the Titans are not good enough. They'll be good when the Titans fan base get over the Mariota stuff and sit him or find another quarterback. And Floyd Reese, I love you to death, man, but you crucified me and was like, everybody is on Mariota. It's not him. It's not him. Titans now are not just elite, but they're hot at the right moment because they have the most dominant player left in the playoffs, and that's Derrick Henry. They're good enough to beat anybody, but they're not really elite yet. But they are clicking at the right moment, and guys, they're playing for their coach. This team has embodied the personality and characteristics of Vrabel, man. So I think they're good enough to beat anybody, but they're not just elite because there are some weaknesses. We haven't just went out and passed for 400, 500 yards. We don't need to yet, but teams may make us actually do that.
Thank you for the call, T. I would say this. It's good that somebody else remembers what the GM said earlier in the year and not just me. But to his point...
About what?
I don't know. But... I don't know. But to his point about Derrick Henry being the best player left in the playoffs, the most dominant player, I would agree with you, except that I think the best player left in the playoffs is Kansas City's quarterback. Yeah. You know, that's the, like, in every game that, I mean, I think Derrick, and I thought this, I wondered this on Saturday night. I said, is Derrick Henry the best player in the NFL? You know, are we at the point to where we can really discuss, is Derrick Henry the best player in the entire league? That doesn't mean he should be the highest paid player. That doesn't mean that he'll be the best player. That doesn't mean anything other than right now, is he the best player in the league? And I could not get past Mahomes. That's the one guy that you could make an argument that Derrick's playing better right now than Aaron Rodgers. You cannot make that argument about Mahomes.
I think you can. I mean, I think I could argue. You could probably argue that of all the teams left in the playoffs, this would probably be my least like to play.
The Titans?
No.
Kansas City? Oh, my God, yes. I told you going into the playoffs, it's the one team I didn't want to play.
Any of these other teams, I mean, San Francisco or Green Bay, I'd play them both.
Oh, it'll be tough.
It'll be hard.
This game will be tougher than the Super Bowl if you get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what? I thought the same way in 2002 when you guys played Oakland. And you lost to Oakland 42-24, and Tampa Bay went to Philadelphia, and they beat Philadelphia, and Tampa Bay with Brad Johnson ended up winning the Super Bowl. I said to myself, the one team I didn't want to play was Oakland. That was the one team. Didn't mind playing Pittsburgh, didn't mind playing Andy Reid in Philadelphia, didn't mind playing Tampa Bay. But I did not want to have to play Oakland. That was the one team I didn't want to, and because I knew Oakland could score a bunch of points. And that's what Oakland did in that game, and I'm with you. I think without a doubt, I thought about it today. I said, this game will be harder than the Super Bowl. Now, what you can't do is you can't beat Kansas City and then get ready for Green Bay and say, Green Bay, we just beat Kansas City. Who cares about Green Bay? Because the second you do that, Green Bay bites you in the rear end. But Oh, I'm totally with you. Going into the playoffs, this was the one team I didn't want to play. That's why we were celebrating at the George Jones on the pregame show that day, because I was like, oh my gosh, you get to play the New England. Yes, not Kansas City. We're right back to your phones next. Big, long commercial-free segment. 615-737-1025. Join us Tuesday, January 28th from 6 to 9 as Preds Insider, Slapshot Radio, and Penalty Box Radio broadcast live at Cherokee Steakhouse at 450 Cherokee Dock Road in Lebanon. Come by for a full night of Preds Talk, great food and drinks, along with the chance to win some Preds prizes. Jared and the GM, ESPN 1025 The Game, and streaming on the Game National app.
You've had such success doing it basically one way for 3 weeks now. Do you think if the game materializes differently and it has to go the other way, do you think the same confidence is there that you can win the other way?
No doubt. You know, we've put in a lot of work to get this point. Like I said, we've done it multiple ways throughout the season, and you don't forget how to throw and catch in 2 weeks. You know, so it's something we still have a lot of confidence in, and I know our guys outside have a lot of confidence in themselves, and I have a lot of confidence in them being able to get open and get them the football.
God bless Steve Lehman. I love that man like a brother, News Channel 5. But what do you expect Dan Hill to say? Nope, Steve, I don't think we can throw if we have to throw on Sunday at Kansas City. Sorry. But to Dan Hill's point, you don't forget to pitch and catch all in 1 week.
No.
And I don't – I mean, if they have to, they're going to have to throw the ball more at Kansas City. I think you and I would both agree with that. That, I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're going to have to throw the ball more, and I expect them to be okay throwing the ball more. Again, they're not going up against Stephon Gilmore and Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey this week. Now,
although you said, what did he have last time we played him?
181, I think.
No, I'm talking about the receivers.
The Titans receivers?
Yeah.
0 for Davis and 1 for 17 for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, there's your concern.
That is really, you cannot sleep because of A.J. Brown and Corey Davis.
Killing me.
Let's go to your phones. Luke is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Luke?
Yeah, back to the elite thing. I do not believe we're an elite team yet, but with that being said, I think we can be an elite team next year with some injuries. Right now, I think we're not elite because we, simple enough, we do not have the elite players. But next year, I know we're got the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship coming up, maybe the Super Bowl. What do y'all think about next year if everybody's healthy and we make the right moves and A.J. Brown can pick it up?
Man, I got to be honest with you. Thank you for your call, Luke, but I got to be real. We did this. Did we get into this with the Predators at one point during their run where it was like, what about next year? Let's worry about next year next year. Trust me, Jared and the GM, the Predators right now, no offense to them, not doing so hot. So it's going to be hard to do 4 hours a day on the Predators when they're at the, you know, at the bottom of the playoff standings, if they're even in the playoff standings, when the Titans season is over. It'd be hard to fill 4 hours a day on that. So we're going to have tons of time to talk about Derrick Henry and his contract and Ryan Tannehill and his contract and Logan Ryan and his contract. And there's somebody else I'm forgetting Jack Conklin and his contract. And we're going to have tons of time to talk about next year. And we'll have tons of time to talk about the draft. And we'll probably be at the combine like we are every year. And we'll have tons of time to talk about that. It's AFC Championship weekend. I mean, the one thing I'll say about next year is when I was in the seventh grade was the last time the Titans went to the AFC title game. It's been 17 years since then. So I think everybody needs to enjoy where you are this week, enjoy the game this week, enjoy the fact that you are one of the final four teams remaining in football. And even if you don't go to the Super Bowl, enjoy it, because unless you're New England, these things don't come around every year.
Oh, no. They don't come around every year. So you're right. Enjoy it. And even, you know what? You can have a heck of a team and be the best team in the AFC, get in the first round of playoffs, and you're knocked out, and you still don't get back here. So it doesn't matter how good or bad. It's who you play and how you play.
I'll say this. As somebody who grew up a Titans fan, I vehemently enjoyed the win over New England and the win over Baltimore. And I made sure to tell myself, like, this is such – you beat 14-2 Baltimore on the road. Enjoy it. Like, that's the thing that I would say to the Titan fans. Don't worry about next year. I mean, there's no guarantee. Next year, you could go out there and you could be the best team in the league, and you could get smacked in the first round by a 9-7 team.
Sure.
And that's why these things don't come along often. That's why this game, if the Titans aren't an elite team right now, this game is so important for if you can steal it somehow, if you can force them into, if you can fake a punt to win the ball game and you do it and it works, like all of those things, because you don't know when you'll get your next shot to get to the Super Bowl. You never know when that next shot will come. And so that's just how I feel. Alex is up next on Adam Humphreys. Thank you for calling. What's up, Alex?
What's up, man? By the way, thank you for having me. But I saw in the injury report today that Adam Humphreys actually followed at the practice. And to me, he was a guy I honestly forgot was on our team just because it's been like 6 or 7 weeks that he's been playing. But what I wanted to say was he is a dominant slot receiver, at least in his past year in Tampa Bay. He's really good on our third downs, and even Mariota or Tannehill, both of them kind of relied on him on third down or threw to him on a majority of their third down conversions. So I was going to ask that if I don't want to jump the gun just because he's practicing and he's going to play, but if he is able to play this Sunday against Kansas City, does that help Ryan Tannehill immensely, or is it just going to be one of those big games where Henry's going to have to win the ball game through his legs?
Thanks for the call, Alex.
That would help tremendously because the way our receivers have been going, we're not going to get anything out of them. So the inside receivers, your tight ends and slots become, and running backs, become so much more important. And we, like last week, we're relying on, Raymond, and we're relying on Smith. And, we didn't have him. The time that we played, the last time we played Kansas City, I mean, Humphreys, had the game-winning play. I mean, he was gigantic.
And it was a great throw by Tannehill that led him into the end zone, but he had to catch it and then basically take on two Kansas City tacklers.
Take a shot. Yeah.
On his way into the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much Humphreys can help you on Sunday. The one thing I do know about what Humphreys is at least it's an option. And the Titans, if the Titans didn't think that they would possibly need him at this stage, they would have IR'd him already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He would definitely help. He'll come in. He will be an option. I agree with that 1,000%. But Tannehill's got to feel so much better
to have him as opposed to
have another guy
as opposed to having what's his name, Darius Jennings out there. I don't know why they throw to him.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what, he does the kick returns and so on and so forth. Texter into the text line says, Baltimore blitzed more than 80% of their defensive plays and the Titans offensive line handled it. They truly have gelled and will carry the Titans to the Super Bowl. They know how good they are. Their trophy is the fact that they have the number one running back in the league. Floyd, do you agree with the texter that the offensive line could perhaps carry the Titans on past Kansas City?
Well, I think they can definitely do it versus a run. I think the question will be, how well are you going to be able to pass protect? But, I mean, they've got the run blocking down. And you know what? It's like the texter just said. I mean, they blitzed whatever it was, 80% of the time last week. Did we get sacked? Maybe once.
But
not very much.
Not one that I remembered.
Yeah. I mean, not very much. So, it's one of the real transformations of this team, in my opinion, is what has finally happened with the offensive line. I mean, they truly have not only gone from poor to, okay, they're pretty good, and, now they're getting a little bit better, and, would you call them good? Yeah, maybe they are good. Right? Would you call them pretty good? Are they really good? And I think the last 2 weeks, you can look at them and you can say, yep, they're really good. So, giant, giant improvement.
Speaking of the offensive line, Mike Vrabel asked about how long it took them to gel. We'll discuss that next. Jared and the GM, John Robinson at 4 o'clock. 615-737-1025. More of your phones, more of your texts. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025, The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Was there a particular game or stretch where you felt like the offensive line finally started to gel? And or has it just been a gradual process?
I think it's been a gradual process. I think what happens is the runner starts running and breaking tackles and making yards, and then the line starts getting excited, and then the line blocks better, and then maybe the runner doesn't have to run as well as he did before. But, you know, it's, you know, when you start rolling, then guys want to block better and finish longer than the guy with the ball, and you start to build confidence week to week, and then you build momentum through the week of practice and then into the game.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the Titans' offensive line. I'll say this. I'm amazed at the Titans' offensive line considering how bad they were earlier this season.
Yeah,
I'm amazed.
I have to be.
Amazed. A couple of texts to get to. Somebody saying, Frank, who calls in all the time, says, Jared, how do you feel about Vrabel coaching now? I think Mike Vrabel's doing a great job. Now, I will say this. I've been impressed with Vrabel. I mean, I really... It's not so much... Everyone keeps talking about this idea of, you know, them embodying the coach, and for some reason, I feel like that's just TV talk. Like, this team embodies their coach. Yeah! But I think the team has gotten better throughout the course of the season. The fundamentals of the team, and the offensive line, I think, is a key aspect of this. On Ryan Tannehill's option touchdown against Baltimore, Nate Davis made the key block. I remember midway through the season being like, this guy can't block anybody. Well, that means that they've been out on the practice field and they've been showing him how to use his hands right and use his feet and say, no, don't do this, do this instead, and that he's practiced it and he's gotten better. And I think that's happened with a lot of areas on the football team. And that's where I think that good coaching comes in. I'll also say this, and we'll get into Arthur Smith probably later in the week because I think he may be the X factor in this game. Arthur Smith, man, he knows when to go for the jugular sometimes, and that I am impressed with. Because every time a guy gets hired as offensive coordinator, everybody talks about all these great offensive coordinators. Innovative. This guy is that. This guy, Stefanski in Minnesota. I can't remember what Minnesota did on offense this year, but they love him. Yes, hired him. Go, Matt LaFleur. What? Man, Arthur Smith, no one gives him the hype, but he just seems like a smart offensive football coach. So I think those two things I think I'm readily impressed with. Let's go to Corey, who's up next here on Jared of the GM. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Something I've been thinking about for a couple of days, ever since the Baltimore game, is that just the offensive line. I don't know if when Taylor Lewan came back, he shared some of his extra supplements, but they're coming off the ball, and they're knocking people back 2-3 yards. And it's just, like you guys have said, it's incredible how they've turned it around. And I think it was inevitable that they were going to gel because they were so far behind with the suspension and all. But I think there's an X factor there that Tannehill came in, and I think they realized that, hey, if we can hold our block for another second, maybe two, this guy's going to make a play for us versus maybe subconsciously in the past that they didn't have that confidence that was going to happen. And I just wonder what you guys thought about that.
Thank you for the call, Floyd.
Do you think
Taylor Lewan was sharing his supplements with the offensive line as the caller?
I think there's probably something to that. And Mike Vrabel, you just heard him talking about, I think the point he was trying to make is, you know what, as an offensive line, you go out there and you block and you think you're holding your block and you know, then you hold it a little bit longer than that run. You know, all of a sudden Henry runs past you, and you can all you see is his big hind end as he's headed down the field, and you're going, wow, that's cool. You know, so the next time you hold it even longer. And I think the same is true with the quarterbacks. You know, you pass protect, and you pass protect long enough, and you say, you know what? If we give him just an extra couple of tenths of seconds, I mean, it's completed, it's downfield, and we're off and running. So it's the same deal. Success breeds success. But I think this offensive line truly is, whatever it is that they are feeding off of, it's truly impressive what they've been doing.
Andy Reid today was asked about Chris Jones, and Andy Reid basically made it sound like Chris Jones did not practice today for Kansas City. I saw a report out of Kansas City today that said that Jones is not going to practice all week and that he will be a game-time decision. And I wonder how worried Andy Reid is about his defensive line getting knocked down by the Titans' offensive line, especially if Chris Jones is not into the mix.
Well, and that's another one of those positions. When you're a defensive lineman, you're down in two-point stance, it's your calf, right?
Yep.
Or knee or something?
His calf. And Andy said he couldn't push off the other day. Said it was not even close to him making the cut.
I think I'd be really surprised if he could come back and be in a position he could go into the game and give you much. You know, he might be able to give you a play here and a play there, but that also could be enough to get hurt a lot more. You just don't know.
Texter into the text line says, my concerns on the keys for the Titans are, one, they got to win the turnover battle, two, special teams winning field position, and three, good pass coverage against real speed. My thing about the defense that we've all got to understand, they're going to get their yards. The idea that you can go out and hold Mahomes to 213 yards passing, it's just not going to happen. The question is, when they get their yards, do you force them out of bounds at the 9-yard line and then play great red zone defense like they've been playing so far in these playoffs, or do they start dumping it to Kelce and Hill and Watkins and Hardman and all of their guys? Because you can, I think they'll move the ball on you. But you held them to field goals and did a decent job of it in the first game. Can you do that in this game?
Yeah, I mean, the red zone's going to be critical. And it's also, you know, let's make them earn it a little bit. Let's make them. And I think we saw it the first pass that that Jackson threw last week. I'm not sure it was the first pass, but bounced off of the receiver's hands. And boom, there's Byard. Now we're going back the other way. So if you can make them have to try to do that, you know, 15 times instead of 5 times, well, maybe one of those 15 bounces your way. You know, maybe one's a sack, maybe one's a strip sack, maybe one's a, you know, off the hands into mine kind of a thing. And I think that's what you're hoping for. If you just don't let them have those big, giant plays. You know, you can't line up first and 10 on the 20 and they go 80.
Yes.
That can't happen.
Yes, and there was one of those in the game here. And it was a pass to Mecole Hardman that essentially won the game for the Chiefs.
65 yards or something.
And that was a total backbreaker because you were hanging with him the whole game. You were ahead for most of it. And all of a sudden, it's one throw, and Hardman gets away from Logan Ryan, and he's gone. Those are the plays that can't happen in this game. I'm okay with Kansas City moving the ball down to the field, getting to the 8-yard line, and all of a sudden having a hard time getting the ball into the end zone.
Yeah.
Because kicking field goals is, from a momentum standpoint, is going to give you momentum if they drive down and kick field goals. Now, you've got to be as good offensively in the red zone as you've been, but I do agree with you about just you can't go 68 to the house. That can't happen. And they're saying the same thing about Henry. Henry's going to get his yards. Don't let Henry go 68 to the house twice.
Yeah, make it be 6, 5, 6, 7, 5, but not 65.
So the Titans made the trade with the Rams. John Robinson's going to join us in 7 minutes. The Titans made the trade with the Rams in 2016. Is it not crazy that this time last year we thought they got to get more out of that trade? That trade is not good enough.
We thought?
I did.
Okay.
Thought that trade was not good enough. Jared Goff, Super Bowl quarterback last year. And the Titans got Derrick Henry, who had 4 good games, Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, Jack Conklin, Austin Johnson. You know, it just wasn't good enough. Austin Johnson.
Are we reevaluating now?
Austin Johnson.
Are we reevaluating our criticism?
Austin Johnson. Might be your fourth best defensive tackle, and that is not a knock on Austin Johnson. It's just, you know, Simmons, Casey, Jones are all playing so well. Johnson's playing well, too. But Austin Johnson's playing great. Jonnu Smith just had a touchdown. Derrick Henry might be the best player in the NFL. Jack Conklin is going to get a humongous contract either from you or from somebody else, and he is mauling people. Now, Davis, you know, we're gonna work on Corey Davis. But you look back at the Rams trade now, and even if some of these guys don't stay here, like if Johnson who's a free agent at the end of the year, if Johnson leaves, you're going to get a comp pick for him because someone's going to pay Austin Johnson. Someone is going to give Jack Conklin a humongous contract if it's not you. So
are you going to apologize to J-Rob? It's just a simple question.
I just said that they weren't getting enough. Now they are getting enough. I don't think that's apology worthy.
I love it.
Now, think about this. Think about the Titans' 2016 draft class. Jack Conklin, starting right tackle. Derrick Henry, starting running back. Austin Johnson, valuable defensive tackle. Kevin Byard, all-pro safety. Tajay Sharp, a member of the pass-catching group. LaShawn Sims, still on the team. I mean, the 2016 draft class, Sean Robinson's first draft class, and that right there is paying some dividends. As is Simmons right now. We had asked when Simmons got in there, when's Simmons going to make a play? And he's starting to make plays. So John Robinson, I think, has got a lot to be proud of. And he is joining us next. Titans GM John Robinson joins Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.